Hey, welcome back to the White Point Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, so thankful that you've chosen to join us today. We kicked off the Impossible Christmas series this past Sunday looking at Luke chapter 1. One of the things that I love about Luke is the amount of specific verifiable details that he gives us. He is over the top in his goal of helping his friend Theophilus, and there's different interpretations on who that Theophilus is, or perhaps who Theophilus represents, but helping Theophilus to, as Luke says, have certainty of the things that he has been taught or told. And of course, then that refers to certainty that Jesus really is who Jesus says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, that he really did live perfectly, he really did die, he really did rise to life again, and we really can have new life and forgiveness of our sins through faith in him. And what we chose to do on Sunday was to work through the specific details that Luke chooses to present to us. One of the beautiful things about the gospel accounts is that they vary in the details that are given. You know, John starts on this sort of theological masterpiece, as he says, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Mark, he skips the whole birth narrative and he jumps straight into the action. And, you know, Matthew gives more of an account of Joseph, while Luke gives an account of Mary and her experience in this. And one of the points that I was careful to make is that the difference in the gospel accounts is more like harmony and unison in singing a song. You know, when you're singing a song, and sometimes you have unison where you sing the same notes, and at times we see the same stories in the gospel. But in other times, when you're singing a song, you're in harmony. There are different parts, there are different pieces. You're all singing the same song, but with different notes. And the way in which Luke and the other authors, they choose to sing some different notes as they point us toward Christ. And so what we chose to do is to look at why, in Luke's goal to give us certainty about who Jesus is, why he chooses to include the different parts and pieces that he does. And so we worked through much of the text, beginning in verse 26, all the way through really the end of the interaction between the angel Gabriel and Mary, and just looking at details, and ultimately seeing how Luke proves to us that Jesus is really the qualified, guaranteed, certified Messiah. That he's from Nazareth, which speaks to a prophecy in the scriptures from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, for example. And the root and the branch, and that word branch in the Hebrew, having in its common root the same word as Nazareth has. And seeing these different nuances, and that Jesus is born of a virgin and yet is tied to Joseph, so that he can fulfill the prophecy of receiving David's promised throne, and working through the legal processes of betrothment, which differed in that day versus ours. And we know that there was a legal process in the stage of betrothal, because in Matthew's gospel, Joseph decides that he's going to divorce Mary, which is a legal proceeding. Of course, he then doesn't, but that shows us, and it connects us back to how Jesus can be tied to the line of Joseph, even though Joseph is not Jesus's biological father. We looked at the fact that Jesus will be the Son of the Most High, which means he's fully God, fully man, and just looked at all of these different criteria. And the point I ended up getting to is really the central point, is that we can have certainty that Jesus is qualified to be our Savior. And Luke proves that, all the Gospels prove that over and over and over again. The question for us becomes, do our qualifications for Jesus align with the Bible's qualifications? By that I mean, do we overlay unbiblical qualifications upon Jesus? And we say things to him, maybe internally, maybe externally, if you do this, Jesus, then I'll allow you to be my Savior. If you answer yes to this prayer, then I'll receive you and accept you and live for you. But if you don't, I will not. And what we do oftentimes, like the Pharisees did in the time of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, we have expectations for Jesus that are not biblical. And we overlay those expectations, which cause us then to reject the true Savior of the world. Because he has proven without a doubt that he really is the Savior. The question is, do we receive him on his terms, or do we reject him because of our terms? And I want us to process that this morning as we go into our day and as we think about our discipleship and our following of Jesus. Are we following him, receiving him on his terms, or are we overlaying unbiblical things and keeping him at arm's length because he isn't meeting our unbiblical expectations? With that in mind, I do want to say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it teaches us, it leads us, it guides us, it challenges us. Jesus, thank you for proving without a doubt that you really are the Savior of the world, that we can have certainty, as Luke hoped. We can have certainty that you are who you say you are, and reveal in us any area of our lives where we are keeping you at arm's length because we're overlaying something unbiblical, some expectation we have of you that is out of alignment. And would we receive you for who you say you are and who you prove to be, not for who we desire you to be. We don't make you in our image. You made us in yours. And so allow us to receive you, obey you, be obedient to you, glorify you in all we think, do, and say. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.